Vungan in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Mvunganyi. We're coming to you from The Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Thank you for tuning in. Now, each year in Africa and around the world, we set aside a day to mark Women's Day. It's a day to commemorate, to celebrate advancements and achievements that we've made as a society in terms of recognizing the importance of women in our societies. This is a day that has been celebrated for over 100 years now, and one would think that given the level of progress that has been made on the women's rights front, that there would be no need to set aside a special day for women's rights. However, even as there has been considerable progress around the world, and specifically in Africa, on the women's rights front, women, including, by the way, some of the most progressive societies, women still struggle for their basic rights, including the rights over their bodies. So sadly, we continue to see rising numbers of women as victims to all forms of violence, mostly sexual violence. And people will say, well, we have laws to protect these women. But, you know, the laws might be there, but they're not enforced in many of these societies. And matter of fact, the UN Secretary General in his message acknowledges that the rights of women and girls worldwide are being, quote, reduced, restricted, and reversed. And so even though there are laws that protect women, we see that the legal environment in most countries is still very much controlled by a patriarchy that does not respond to such abuses. In many communities, a woman will be attacked, but there will be limited or even no legal recourse. And in some cases, we've seen where women have been attacked, and instead of being protected, they continue to be victimized by the same legal process that is supposed to protect her. As one analyst put it, the judicial commitment to women's rights is suspect because of the history of traditional rulings, including biased court judgments, which often reproduce or reflect cultural stereotypes in these societies. So even as these societies continue to see dramatic socioeconomic changes, including more women in positions of leadership, from president to members of parliament and other positions of power, this has not necessarily translated into societies where women are seen as equals or their contribution valued equally, and where they feel that they can achieve their ambitions. And so on the show today, we will look at some of the progress made in terms of creating an environment that respects and protects women's rights. We will talk to three young women about some of the struggles they see in their communities, some of the advancements made, and the conversations that are being had around the continent, this issue of women's rights. Stay tuned. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Now, let's start off by listening to your opinions on today's topic.
Get up! Stand up for your right.
My name is Pio Kevin, and I'm a South Sudanese. The woman I can talk about is my mother, because she's been there for me from day one, from my childhood up to now. She's been fighting for me so much. Because remember, sometimes back I was being forced to go for early marriage, but she stood there for me and she's like, no, my daughter has to go to school. She understood my right and she pushed with me. And if you look at the majority of the South Sudanese at the moment, the mothers are the ones who are standing strong for their children. You know, things to do with feeding at home, everything. A man can just give man at home, but, you know, maybe we'll give for something else, but the woman knows that it's a right for my children to eat.
What I would actually want to emphasize is that our government should prioritize maybe girls' education if they want a change, a bigger change. Because some of the things are actually, they are made worse because of lack of education for girls.
Oh, my name is Alam Noor. I am a South Sudanese. Women in this country are trying so hard to fight these issues of being self-independent. In South Sudan here, women open up small businesses like maybe tea sales. They're doing it to earn a living. Yes, and also support themselves and their families.
To stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Jump, jump. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. This is Jackson Vunganyi. Now, commemorated a day that is dedicated to women's rights. Such rights include, but are not limited to, issues related to a woman's right to have equal rights as men in all aspects of life. Now, this might sound like a common sense idea, and some will argue that there's no need to address the issue, given that most societies have laws that protect women's rights. So even as we see these societies continue to dramatically shift socially and economically, and we see a growing middle class, women are still paid way less, for example, than their male counterparts. And we're going to address some of those issues on our show today. And here with me in the studios to help me talk about these issues is Oriane Itangishaka Isis from the Central African Service. We have Tigist Geme from the Horn of Africa. And then to represent Zimbabwe, Nyahuye Marvelous. Ladies, thank you very much for joining me.
We feel very honored on such an important day for women.
Yes. So, and that's my initial question for you guys. Why is it necessary to continue to celebrate or to commemorate International Women's Day?
I think that's a very good question when it comes to highlighting the issues that women deal with. Some people look at this day in a different perspective. Some people look at it as a way to fight for equal rights and so forth. And different women, I think, look at it in different ways. I think for me, it's mostly a day to highlight some of the struggles that women go through in life. Mm. They vary. I think things that are dear to my heart, like sexual violence, property rights, right, which, you know, sometimes also, you know, it becomes an issue in families nowadays because the rights to inherit is becoming a major topic in many different places in the
right.
world.
There's a conversation around inheritance right now.
Exactly.
When it comes to Tigist, real quick, why is it important that every year the world commemorates or recognizes women's rights?
I think it's also a good day to acknowledge and celebrate the achievements women around the world got to. Mm. Like back in the days, there were times where women didn't have what they have now. Mm. So it's a good day to celebrate, and also it's a good way to remind. It's a reminder for old and young to just pause and think, where are we as a society today? But just quickly to add on that, in many countries, it's used as like a day to score a political point, mm-hmm. than
right.
really.
And we will get to that. We'll get to that. Whether this really actually means that the people actually engage in actual conversations and what it means. Marvelous, you host a women's show.
Yes.
We actually caught you as you're about to start a Facebook Live. First of all, it's Zimbabwe Service.
Yes.
If people want to watch the show, it's on the Facebook Live.
Facebook Live on VOA Shona.
Right.
Or VOA Studio 7 or VOA Zimbabwe.
And it's in English. People can follow.
Yes, in okay. English and okay. in our vernacular Shona as well.
So what do you think your show is important?
I think it's very important to highlight, like what my colleague here said, some of the challenges that women are facing. And also, you know, some of the gains that women have had, you know, throughout the years. Mm. Because when we look at this year's Women's International Women's Day is running under the theme Women in Changing World of Work, Planet 50-50 by 2030. That's the UN one. Mm. And, you know, the overall one is Be Bold for Change. So we're looking at really the changing environment in women. And you talked about patriarchy yourself. It still exists, especially in Zimbabwe. So we're trying to, you know, break that glass ceiling where women can actually achieve what they are trying to achieve in life.
Right. Now, and I'm this is a general conversation. We've seen that in many parts of the African continent, as in the world, in the past two decades, there has been a dramatic change in women's rights. We see that, as you say, workplace issues still exist. Mm-hmm. Like your generation, what are some of the issues that you're still fighting, some of those battles that you're fighting that were fought initially, that you shouldn't be even fighting, mm-hmm. you know, anymore? You feel like this has been litigated. We have had this conversation. We feel it has been settled, but they still linger.
If you go to countries in Africa, like mm-hmm. say, if I give you example, it's Ethiopia. For women, for the situation they're in, equal pay is not really priority. They don't have right to their body first. They mm-hmm. can't
exactly,
walk
yeah.
to school mm-hmm. safe and come back. The police, the community is not protecting them as they expect or as it should be. So equal pay might feel like you're talking about luxury there.
Right.
So that's why I was trying
they have
to,
bigger issues.
Because for them bigger, to even get a job that's equivalent to what the man has, you know, you really have to work twice as hard as a woman. Just like here, gender equality really, especially in Africa, it's still a long way off. There are, you know, some strides that have been made, but, you know, women are still struggling to be taken seriously. Like, you know, you got to work twice as hard because, you know, it's a mentality. We're coming from a patriarchal society. You know, attitudes have to change.
Oriane, you cover the Central Africa, Kirundi-Kinyarwanda service. Rwanda has been mentioned as one of the countries with the highest number of women in parliament. How has that translated in the progress in terms of women's rights?
I think it's a very good example of women's being acknowledged for their wisdom and for their capabilities in different spheres. So, yes, we have to congratulate that because it's a step towards improving women's lives and people's families. Because when women are more active in politics, more active in legal policies, per se, it improves people's lives. So I commend that. And I see even in Burundi, even in other parts of Africa, women are becoming more and more involved in parliaments and other aspects of government. Mm. And so it's a good sign. And so we have to commend that. And I think that it's going to get better.
Tigist, your country, yes. Ethiopia, is also one of the countries that has been mentioned as having a high number of women legislators.
Yes.
Has that necessarily translated in progressive laws that affect women, that protect women?
Yeah, the thing is, it's a good start. Ethiopian parliament have 547 seats, and almost half, close to half, they're women. Do you see the impact at policy level? I doubt it. But do they inspire other women, their kids, or the society they came from, making to that point? It's a big deal. It's a good thing.
But aside from the aesthetics and aspirations of young women in villages saying that there's a member of parliament who is a woman in the seat, at what point will their existence, will their presence in these seats, like you call them, actually affect change? I mean, as a young woman, I want to know that there's a member of parliament from my constituency who is the woman that is passing laws that protect me as a young woman, so that when I'm walking to school, that I feel like I don't feel under any form of threat of violence. You see what I'm saying?
I totally agree with you. Again, this woman mostly is a political appointee. You know, it's not on capability or inspiration, or it's not because they had motivation or they fit to that position.
Mm.
But the fact that there's a woman in the parliament by itself is one step towards having, you know.
I think, like as she's saying, them being in that seat, as she said, is a potential for them changing things. It is a hope for them bringing up policies that would potentially affect other women's lives. For instance, when you're talking about hygiene for women, it might be a strange thing for men, but if a woman is in parliament, those issues will be resolved quickly. You know, so you have to commend that step for them being in parliament, and as if inevitably there will be impact on a policy level because they're there. So you might not see a big change. There are very small steps and strides that has to be taken, sometimes years of work, but them being there, we all agree that it's a good thing.
Now, obviously, you're going to have a very special show today or tomorrow.
Yes,
because
I was actually going to talk about the parliament, like in Zimbabwe.
Okay,
what Zimbabwean government has actually done is they have, you know, set aside for women, what they call proportional representation. Yes. You know, to try and encourage women to take up leadership positions. Sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, for the women parliamentarians that have gone in at that level, they're actually saying they're seeing more coming out of, you know, the kind of work that they're doing in their constituencies because they're set, you know, they can now change certain laws. Like, for example, we had, you know, a problem of early child marriages in Zimbabwe, but the parliamentarians have been pushing for a law to be put in place. And, you know,
this is in fact one of the examples of where women are actually in positions of power.
Yes.
And in effect, they're part of a policy shift.
Exactly.
Protecting women or young women.
And
yeah.
Because of that, why wouldn't they get paid the same if they were doing the same work the men were doing? And that's why I think the argument of equal pay comes about.
Yeah.
They're there, they're doing the same work.
And should be paid.
Impact, maybe equally, even more. Yeah.
Right.
And so the argument of equal pay comes about. And so that's in
Parliament.
Yes.
But does that necessarily filter down to other aspects of the economy?
Right. And that's why she said that sometimes you have to start with the issues in the different parts of the world that are pertinent before we can get to equal pay. So it's a stepping stone.
Tigist, you shared a very heartbreaking story with me that you an article that you wrote a couple of years ago about this young woman that was attacked and unfortunately passed away. But she was not able to get the help from the law enforcement authorities. Is this something that happens quite often in Ethiopia, where young women are victims of these, you know, horrible attacks, and the perpetrators get away scot-free, even though there are laws that are supposedly protect these women?
So Ethiopia is a very closed, conservative society between religion and culture, very conservative and patriarchal. The laws are beautiful on the paper, especially with the current government. Very well written laws with, I mean, you can't do any, you can't just spot one problem with it, but there's no implementation.
Yeah.
It's not about you being assertive, knowing your rights. It's about having the support system.
Yeah.
Nobody really, it's not a priority. So it's troubling. It is.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you, because going back again to the, you know, early child marriages, the law has been there, but it's not being implemented. People don't understand that it's actually against the law for you to marry off your child if they're not, you know, of age. And in Zimbabwe before, a child, you know, a girl could be married off at 15, 16, but now they've put in a law to say 18, but nobody really takes, you know, like you're saying, the police don't take any action, and, you know, lawmakers really have to go out there and educate the people as to how important it is for them to follow, you know, the Constitution. It's there, but it's not being implemented.
Yes, yeah, very good you said that they actually have to go out and educate the people. Like in Burundi, they're doing very good about that, going out and educating the communities about these crimes that are specifically done to women and children.
Girls.
They have even created a special police force dedicated to women and children. And so those
now police, that's real progress.
Yes, that's progress.
And
yeah.
Those police units are out in the community teaching the community about these violence, and they're telling them the repercussions, the fines, the jail sentences. So they're actually putting fear in the perpetrators' hearts. So going out and educating the community is very key.
Women of today are struggling, but I think you wouldn't compare their struggles to those of the past. I would say technology has exposed the world to so many things. Let's just look at education. For a woman to make it even in university, she needs a lot of effort. For the women of the past, education was not a priority. Marriage was a priority at that time.
Meanwhile, the world has changed. Everything has changed. We are in a modern world. In the past, we didn't have an internet. In the past, people did not observe some human rights. And this time around, the women have been recognized in as far as human rights is concerned.
And in the past, because women were not empowered, men were abusing them in so many ways. We're not considered as important as men. But now, many girls are educated.
Most of women in Malawi, they are still not employed, because we still have this gender gap in our country, whereby some women are not considered as material for professional jobs. That's a very big challenge. On that one, I would say women are suffering, because they would look for a job for most 6 months and then they just get tired and leave it.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. We have Oriane Tangishak of the Central Africa Service, a reporter, Tigist Geme, another reporter of the Horn of Africa, and Marvelous Nyahuye of the Studio 7 Zimbabwe service. Now, there was a feeling that, you know, when there's some sort of social migration, communities become more wealthy, more access to education, that women's rights, I guess, are much more respected. But then some women would say, no, it's actually the opposite. Like, we fight different battles in different geographical regions, in different social stratas. Is that something that you see in...
I think, you know, really from what you're saying, right, the patriarchy, it's inborn. So that, you know, mentality has
it's
to
constant.
Change.
It's yes, there, everywhere.
No matter how educated you are, if you don't understand that a woman or a girl needs to be respected, you're not going to do anything, you know, when you grow up. Mm. So for me, it doesn't matter whether you come from a, you know, a rich background or very educated, as long as you don't understand that, you know, they are, you need to respect women just like yourself.
So then the question is, who needs to be taught? Who needs to be educated? Is it men or the women about
both sexes? Mm. Both sexes, really, because if we may know our rights, but if the men don't know their rights and our rights, and they don't respect our rights, then we have the same problem altogether. I don't know about
Ethiopia.
That's
really interesting. I used to be a counselor. Like, I studied counseling psychology for my graduate school. So this was one of my proposals. I said, instead of always, like, even at college level, there's sexual violence and, like, this cat calling in college is horrible, especially for girls who are coming from countryside who doesn't really easily fit in the college life. So I used to say, instead of just telling them how to counter attack, not attack physically, but just to resist that, how about we talk to the boys too?
Yes.
I think that's a good point.
And I think
that's the only way we can change things.
That's what most of the rights activists in Zimbabwe are now doing, because they saw that the problem is not only about, you know, women knowing their rights. It's about the men also, from being, you know, when you're a young boy, you got to grow up knowing, listen.
Be socialized to
exactly, you've got to be socialized. I'm hoping that, you know, my children's children will understand what we're talking about.
Do you feel that these imbalances, women, men imbalances, are getting less?
No, it's getting better. But like you said, even then, there are other fights that come with that too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's expectation from you. Women have to be wife, a mother, and working full day. I mean, full-time working, housekeeper, and then always put the smile on, you know? So still, it's a lot. There's a lot of progress, but still.
Marvelous. You say you hope your kids or your grandkids do not fight the same battles that you fought.
Because I'm hoping that, you know, like, we find a new way of teaching, you know, our kids that are coming into the world now, of, you know, gender equality. That I know that when I was growing up in some households, for example, you'd be told, this is work for the girl, this is work for the boys. So they grow up knowing that and thinking that's very okay, when it's not. It should be equal, so that when they go out in the world, if somebody, you know, tries to disrespect a woman, they can keep them in check and say, no, we are equal. Her and I are equal. If she knows, you know, we train the same, she can do the same job. Mm. But you find even, you know, in your work environment that women have to work twice as hard. A woman manager has to perform twice as hard, because it's just the patriarchal mindset that's there. So we have to change that. And I'm hoping my kids, who have it better.
As women, I think there's also something that we have to do in terms of being realistic and being strategic in our struggle, in our fight.
Yeah.
The society is a patriotic society. Mm-hmm. It's a men-driven world. It's not changing anytime soon. And I'm not trying to be hopeless, but I'm not going to fight that battle. Mm-hmm. That's not where
I'm at. Wait, hold up. I feel like you've given up.
I haven't given up, but it's not really on top of my agenda. I'm okay with men leading the world. And to some women, it'll be like, whoa. Mm. But I'm okay with that, because...
But do they actually really lead the world?
I don't know. I beg to differ with my sister right there.
What does leading mean?
Let me finish my train of thought. What I'm trying to say is that there are certain things as women we need to strategically fight in order to get where we want to be.
I think that's where I beg to differ with you, my sister.
I understand. I know you will. And a lot of men, women will. But a lot
because
of women,
I think, you know...
Right,
because you're thinking that when they say equal rights, it means men will feel threatened and therefore they will fight. They'll feel cornered.
No, I think that if women are respected, if women are loved, if women are cherished.
But to get that respect, a man would have been taught that from when he's a young person.
Yes, it starts from a young person.
Yeah, so it's a mindset change.
To love, to respect, to cherish. If a boy is taught that from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't even have to tell them about equal rights.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Exactly. And equal rights doesn't mean we have to stand toe to toe.
It doesn't mean that. It's not a fight. It's not a fight.
No, I think what I want to say about leading, she said she's fine with men leading the world. I'm fine too, but I'm fine with whether it's a woman or men.
Able should be equal.
Right. Leading the world.
People leading the world.
Yes.
People, yeah.
People who is able...
There are
leading.
So we have president women, and they are able to do that.
I mean, if they are, this old problem we're seeing under their leadership, what women are going through, even here in the United States, women are fighting for equal pay. That shows you how much of an issue this is. So I disagree.
Now,
with that.
I know, you know, from a U.S. presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton said, used to use a common term, breaking the glass ceiling.
We didn't even know what that meant. I'm sorry, but sometimes it was about women achieving something higher, or it was very fluid. But I don't think it had to do with the women being president.
Mm, because there are other women who have become president.
Yes.
Maybe being president of the largest democracy in this country, maybe.
But we have women who are well achieved, and they don't have to really be president to prove that women are able
but
to.
But that's denying the patriarchy that exists in this country when you say
president
that.
United States president is a president, I mean, leader of the world. Mm-hmm. That's a big ceiling.
Absolutely.
Yes.
To break.
As we come to the end of this conversation, okay, I wanted to, you know, your last thoughts on where should we concentrate more to be able to achieve, I mean, for this to be a meaningful fight, for 2017 not to have come and gone, what are some of the things, what are some of the progresses that you want to see?
Yes, there are like good things that are already in a way. Say, women becoming entrepreneurs, having their own NGOs, even like African diaspora women trying to help women back home.
Mm-hmm.
Through education, through awareness, creating assertive, that all thing what women are doing now should
to help each other.
To help each other, okay. To stick up for each other, should keep going. But again, the main thing is we're talking about Africa, where pretty much in many countries, government is in charge of these women organizations. Mm. To give you example, in Ethiopia, there's a minister of women, children and youth. But do they... Tomorrow, I'm sure there are a lot of...
I thought you were going to say that he's a man.
It is a woman.
In some instances, that happens, yeah.
And there will be a lot of marches and demonstrations tomorrow in Ethiopia. But going forward, I think they should be about highlighting women's achievement, showing the hardships they go through, and also just in the society. Because like I said, it's a closed society in Ethiopia, and I'm sure in many African countries. That's the case. But women who have gone through a lot but achieved and, you know, passed beyond that should speak up, share their experience.
You need some more role models of women in society that have made it to...
Yes, and one thing I really want to focus on is women who achieved women shouldn't just talk about their achievement. They should relate to women who are going through hardship. Because we all went through that. If we just don't talk about that and say, hey, I'm here, it's frustrating for the girls who are looking
basically to acknowledge that I know what you're going through, I went through myself, this is how you can get out of it.
I think my last word, I will read from the UN Secretary General's message, Antonio Guterres, who says, on International Women's Day, let us all pledge to do everything we can to overcome entrenched prejudice, support engagement and activism, and promote gender equality and women's empowerment. I think he sums it all up. You may be in Zimbabwe, you may be in Burundi, in Ethiopia. This is what we're striving for.
I want to thank you, ladies, and wish you a happy Women's Day.
Thank you.
We're going to make it a Women's Month here on the show.
Yes.
But I thank you very much for making time to speak to us here on Upfront. And that was Oriane Tangishak of the Central Africa Service here, the Voice of America, Tigist Geme of the Horn of Africa, and Marvelous Nyahuye.
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
Zim.
Zim.
And on that note, I want to thank all our listeners and all our contributors to the show today. Until next time, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. Goodbye. This is